brighten up those dark mornings.
All right.
Mornings at the cabin.
And it's official. Changing up that intro is overdue. Again, not the music. The music stays. I truly wonder what listener thinks of the intro. I think listener's into it. I think I've heard positive rumblings out of listener, despite the grumblings from Moorsy and Holly Williams. This intro just fills me with joy and energy. No, it is time to switch up the brighten up those dark mornings, because it is already a beautiful looking daylight outside. A beautiful Friday morning on the horizon for us here in Yellowknife, breaking us into the weekend nice and gently here on Mornings at the Cabin. Of course, the Balsillie Cup, the annual old timers rec hockey tournament, I guess kicked off last night, actually. I was saying to some teammates, man, our team really won the ice time draw. I feel like we might have someone on the inside. You usually can't look forward to good ice times on a weekend tournament. At least not three of them. We got some absolute bangers for ice times. Friday, 10 p.m. tonight. Saturday, 11 a.m. and 5:15 p.m. I think we pulled some favors to get those times. Of course, I had tried to have this conversation yesterday, if you were listening to Mornings at the Cabin, and Ollie promptly turned it into a wildfire preparedness chat. I don't know how he accomplished that. I mean, this morning show is known for hard right and left turns at any moment. But that was truly remarkable. Taking a rec hockey conversation and turning it into a catastrophe. But you never know where this show is going to go. That's part of the fun. So stick around and start off your Friday morning right with Mornings at the Cabin.
Mornings at the Cabin, the podcast.
He's not the guest I was expecting, but he's the guest we got. Mr. Ollie Williams strolls on into Studio One. And Babs is happy for another episode of Mornings at the Cabin.
Yeah, you play the intro music. Fantastic.
I think that's the only reason she tunes into the show.
Probably is.
Yeah.
Speaking of, yes, and what you're saying, like, what better way to start your Friday morning? Yes, what better way than to poke your head into Studio One and discover that this seat is completely empty?
It wasn't supposed to be this way.
It wasn't supposed to be this way, but here I am. I've had a day so far. What is it, 7:15? I feel like I've been awake for 20 hours.
Oh, God, what's going on?
I had to get up at 3:30 this morning to get the other half to the airport. One of those, like, very, very early takes off before 6 a.m. sort of flights.
Okay,
south.
Yep.
And that would normally be fine. I can handle a 3:30 a.m. wake-up call.
We're
both
used
to getting up pretty early.
Yeah.
However, having eventually got up at like 3:30, you set the alarm for 3:30. By 3:35, we're like, all right, we should like fall into the truck and get to the airport here.
Right, yeah.
Look out the front window. We knew snow clearing was going on. Now, part of me was like, guys, just wait a week. It's going to melt. You know, like, it's just let it go.
This is your first one of the whole winter.
As far as I know, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, they got there eventually. But I'm just like, part of me's thinking, just let it go, guys.
Yeah, we're in the home stretch.
We're on the home stretch. This stuff's gonna be gone in seconds flat.
Like, we've all fashioned our ice buildup into like, you know, manageable.
Well, and the road is like hard packed. It's like better than it is in the summer.
Right.
Like,
it's great.
Like just leave it be. But you know, I get it. So they put all the signs up. Like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you've probably driven like me through downtown before early in the morning to get here when they've been doing snow clearing on some street or other. You can get through, right?
Yeah, usually.
You can usually navigate your way through because they pile up all the snow in the middle.
Right.
And there's two lanes essentially in either direction.
Yeah.
And you might have trouble turning where you would normally turn, but you can figure it out and it's like a little mouse maze and you eventually arrive where you want to arrive.
Right. Sometimes you discover new parts of the city you didn't know existed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that is not how that worked this morning, because I guess my street is not big enough for there to be two lanes. So they had just shoved 4 feet of snow up against our driveway.
Oh, God.
and just know, like, they're still bumbling back and forth with the grader and everything, right? So they're carrying on with their work. It's obviously, it's the middle of the night. All the beeping noise of, you know, heavy machinery reversing, and they're crunching all the snow off the ground, piling it all up. And there was just no way, like, no way of getting out of our driveway. Absolutely no way a vehicle's going to pass. And what do I do? Do I flag down a grader and say, do you mind just lifting this 4 foot by 15 foot block of snow out of the way so I can drive out of here?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that.
They
don't even think they have the equipment to do it that way. I don't think you can just lift a teensy block of all this snow out and just go boop. So we were like, well, what do we do? How do we get you to the airport since we can't drive out of here? Like, well, we phone a cab, but what are we going to tell the cab? So
yeah, what are you going to meet them at Conn Road or something?
So we phoned a cab and said, listen, here's where we are. Can you try and get as close as you can? And we're going to phone you back with, like, a better location just to get someone on the move, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is now a delay to the plan. And the last time either of us went to the airport, it was during one of those ridiculous security line backups where there was a genuine danger of missing the flight.
Right.
Because even though you turned up 90 minutes beforehand, there was like an hour-long wait to get through security, and it became super stressful.
God, what a jarring time that was to be a Yellowknifer.
Well,
when suddenly it was like a normal airport waiting amount of time.
And
we didn't know how to do that.
Well, that is still going on, right? Yeah. Anytime there's a WestJet and an Air Canada flight right now, we're hearing from people saying this is like 90 minutes plus to get through.
Just to get through security?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought things had like smoothed right out. My last couple flights have been pretty smooth.
But I have heard, especially when the Toronto flight is going, that it's tough. I don't know. Maybe it's improved in the last week or two. Certainly the middle of last month, there were people experiencing a lot of difficulties.
Okay.
So
you called the cab, and frankly, this is not the probably even close to the wackiest scenario that a Yellowknife cab is used to encountering on a daily basis.
Absolutely not. So the cab sets off, and yeah, we just had to walk. Like, first of all, it took some effort to walk out of our own street,
right?
Because the snow was pushed up so close to the curb that there is no sidewalk on our street. It's just the road.
Right.
So all the snow had been pushed up basically to people's driveways, and there were places where you kind of had to balance precariously on the snow mound just to even get out toward the next street.
Right.
And then, yeah, we walked all the way down that one and finally got to, like, yeah, the end of Conn. And that was where the mound of snow in the middle of the street stopped. And we basically waited there. And, yeah, 10 minutes later, sure enough, a cab sort of gently pops its head round the corner, like,
is this a waste of time?
Is this going to work? And flagged it down, and off she goes. But it was a stressful start to the morning.
There really is no accounting in this city for people who, you know, start their morning earlier than 8:30 is even pushing it when it's a snow removal
and
day.
And they're doing it overnight because they want to inconvenience as few people as possible,
right? Yes.
They're doing that for a reason, and I get it completely. And also, like, this is not a complaint about them doing that work.
No.
I'm sure it's fairly thankless work, going around street after street, night after night, scraping up all the snow so people don't complain. Oh, look at all the snow that's built up, which is what we do if they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not in any shape or form a complaint about that. But the one day of the year that I need to be out of the house before 4 o'clock in the morning, the one day of the whole year that I need to be somewhere very, very urgently pre-4 a.m., someone has pushed 4 feet of snow right up against the driveway and just said, no, not today.
Life in the knife. It's never a dull moment, is it?
Never dull.
Well, I'm glad you made it there on, I presume, on time.
All good.
Yeah, okay.
All good.
Good. All right, well, everything is off to a reasonably smooth start then, I suppose we could say.
At least someone was on time today.
The Mornings at the Cabin podcast was recorded before a Sort of Live, thankfully not in the studio, audience.
Oh, look who's here.
Oh, well, just waltzes in here.
Yeah.
I don't even have...
You were about to tell a good story as well.
I was about to tell a good story. But, all right.
It's no use trying to sound out of breath.
Andrew Goodwin joins us in Studio One. Good morning, AJ. There you go.
There it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not out of breath. You're out of breath.
Why are you here?
I really wanted to come in this morning, and I woke up. My alarm went off, and I was like, okay, let's do this. And then I got your message at 7:20.
What time did you get in last night?
Later than I expected. About 10:30, 11?
Good God.
You could have just slept.
I know I could have. But I committed to it.
Well, and indeed you did just sleep, but the point is you could have, like...
I did have a sleep in, yeah.
You did.
Unintentionally.
Well, we're very pleased to have you back nonetheless, regardless of your missed alarm and missed first conversation this morning at the cabin. You missed Ollie talking about his adventure trying to get to the airport while snow removal was happening.
As you will have noticed, we had snow removal overnight.
So not only was I late this morning, I go to pull out and there's a filthy big truck right at the end of my driveway getting loaded with snow. I went, well.
So at 3:45 this morning.
Oh, that could have been your excuse.
There you go.
Oh, I've got lots of excuses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At 3:45 this morning, I had to get the other half to the airport. 4 feet of snow wedged up against the house because my street isn't big enough for them to create two lanes. So they just had shoved all of it up against the driveway. And yeah, we were not at the point where they were putting it in trucks and taking it away. So a cab had to be called and we had to figure out where the cab should go that it could actually reach. And it was a process.
Yeah, that's interesting. You almost got to call a chopper at that stage.
Yep. Get a airlifted to the airport.
Yeah, put it on the roof.
At that point, just take her straight to Toronto, you know? Just get a Chinook and then just say, yeah, just send her on down to Pearson.
It's not out of the question. You could just call Great Slave Helicopters and just tell them we're doing another traffic bit.
Yeah.
They'll be right there for you.
Yeah, we did a traffic bit in Mississauga.
Why did we buy this private helicopter if you're not going to utilize it?
Well, as long as Ollie's in the helicopter, it doesn't matter who gets on with you. They'll take you over to the airport and you'll say, oh, the bit didn't work out. We couldn't get a connection. Just drop me back down to cabin
radio. Still blows my mind to this day that in 2018, when we did the infamous traffic report with the helicopter, that we actually did have a connection that was good enough to stream live video out of one seat of a helicopter above Yellowknife for 45 minutes.
That was remarkable.
And an active social media page. Yeah. What a different time.
Oh, my God.
What a very different time.
Nicole was telling me, she messaged me, reminding me about snow removal adventure of years past where, and again, this is not piling on the city. This was years ago.
Is this a disclaimer we just have to run?
I think it might be,
every time.
Anytime we're talking about snow removal in a negative way. Nothing against the city. They do great work.
I have a little worry that I'm going to get home and there's just going to be 8 feet of snow just dumped on the house.
In front of the door.
We were still living downtown at the time, and the city was doing back lane snow removal. And I think she was just like heading to the gym, but it was before COVID, so the gym was opening at even more ridiculous early hours than they do now. But she was, you know, still like half asleep. Didn't even notice the pile of snow right behind her vehicle. And just put it in reverse, backed up, and jammed her vehicle right onto the hill of snow. And I got a call. I think I was like still in bed or like maybe just getting up. But anyway, I wasn't outside. And she calls and it's like, I'm stuck. Stuck on the snow pile. I look outside. I'm like, all right, I'll be right down. And so the guy with the loader is, you know, he's doing his thing and he's kind of looking at her like, what are you doing? And she's just like, hey, can you give us a push? Like, I just need to like get off this snow pile. And he's just like, all right, if that's what you want, starts driving the loader over to push the wheel. We're like, no, not with the loader. No, we just want a hand.
Sure. I'll just pick you up and drop you right over here. Not a big deal.
Just a misinterpretation.
Yeah. Let me grab the forks. I put it up in your apartment if you'd like.
An error in communication. I mean, that would have been easier. Yep. You know, might have caused some damages that we weren't anticipating or hoping for that morning, but that's not his fault. We'll put that out there.
Correct. Another disclaimer, yes. Yes, they were doing the right thing.
That's
right. They just happened to be parked.
His heart was in the right place.
In the wrong spot. I'm on his side. As you were telling the story and you said that you had asked for a little push, that's what I was imagining you meant.
Right.
That's also what I thought, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, in theory, it seems like the best idea. In reality,
well, I was thinking
mildly absurd.
Yeah, I was thinking this seems like mildly dangerous.
Yeah.
To just basically attempt a, a pool bank shot with a Lotus just seems.
Honda Civic corner pocket.
Yeah. It wasn't a brand new vehicle or anything, but yeah, just like a little nudge with a giant loader shovel scoop. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the best practice.
We'll never know until we try it.
That's true. Yeah, we could have been a great experiment. Yeah. But I mean, our luck, he wouldn't have known his own loader strength and shoved us right back into the condo building.
I mean, who does know their own loader strength?
It's in the manual. It's in the brochure.
Flip to the page of the manual, page 387, Honda Civics.
That would be one of my better City All Knife complaints. Thanks a lot, City All Knife, for picking up my car at a loader. Now I have a scratch.
I don't think this was procedure, quite frankly. But I guess you know your job. I don't. Well, if you have any wacky snow removal stories that are not a complaint against the city, not at all.
No, they're doing a great job.
Heaven forfend.
And we'd like to hear about it. Mailbox@cabinradio.ca. The further ago in the past, so that, you know, the chance that nobody currently working was at fault at that time, the better.
Cabin Radio's morning show podcast. All the best chat, none of the embarrassing mistakes.
Ollie has departed. And now it's just me and Mr. Goodwin.
Get out of here, Ollie.
We haven't heard from for a while. You've been on the road. Nobody knows exactly where. We never know what you're doing.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
Where have you been, man?
Well, March 9th, I departed here almost a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I shipped off to the beautiful province of Quebec.
We assumed the worst, but I'm happy to see that that assumption was way off base.
Well, you assumed correct.
Oh.
As an Anglophone heading to Quebec.
Yeah, fair.
And it's...
First of all, Quebec.
Quebec. I did learn a few things, a lot of stuff I can't say on radio.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite one, though, which I think I can say on radio, I also think they might be screwing with me a little bit.
Uh-oh.
My favorite saying is facile d'amour.
Okay.
And it's very Quebecois. It's not, you know, if you said that to someone from France, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Right, of course.
And the reason I learned that is I was in Anapa getting some parts for a snowmobile.
Okay.
And
you mean like a Napa store,
right? Okay. Not a valley,
right? Okay,
yeah, Napa Auto Parts,
right? Gotcha. Yes. I see the commercials all the time,
yeah. Good, okay, yes,
it's
true. You're aware of it, yeah. They do have auto parts, yeah, it's true. So, I was getting some stuff and I said, this was easy. I was like, oh, hey, how do you say easy? Because I keep trying to, you know, when a contractor or somebody's working with me, I just want to be like, oh, no worries, like easy, you know, whatever. That was
right.
Easy,
okay.
So, I was like, how do you say easy? He goes, oh, facile. He goes, ah, no, wait. Facile de moi. He's like, that's Quebecois for easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Like,
oh, I love it. So the second I learned that one, I've been using that one pretty constantly. Yeah. Every time something, I'm like, oh, yeah, can we do this? Facile de moi. Facile de moi. Okay.
Oh, and the reactions are good.
Oh, they love it. Yeah, because it's a very Quebecois saying.
Right.
So when I'm struggling to speak any sort of French, which I tried, and I think it was well received.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, I tried. Yeah, it was actually kind of cool. I liked being able to, I couldn't communicate. I couldn't string together sentences, but I was getting words and I was getting little phrases and stuff like that. And I could pick up little things that they were saying so I could say yes or no or whatever.
I think our token efforts are often better received in France than in Quebec.
This is what I've learned. If you come in and you try and speak French to them, it's very appreciated.
Yeah.
And a lot of them can speak English. So I think you start
off... Don't be fooled.
Yeah, I know. And you know what the worst thing is when you're talking to them and you think you're doing really well?
Right.
And then they just respond in English.
Right.
And you're like, oh, man.
It's because they don't have time to waste.
Yeah, you see right through me. Yeah. Facile de moi.
Yeah.
it's my favorite saying. I'm going to use it all the time.
I love that. Yeah.
Then there's a T word in there that I used a lot, but can't say that on the radio.
Which one's that? Oh.
I can't say it.
Go ahead.
I'll write it
you
down.
You can say it on an English station.
I don't think you can, man.
Come on.
I think it's well known.
Do you want me
to
yell it?
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, you say it. Yeah, that way you get
Tabernacle. In
trouble. Oh, you can't say that. You can't say that.
Come on.
That's a swear word, man.
I don't know what it means, though. So, you know.
Yeah, CRTC.
Ignorance is innocence, I think. Yeah.
Although I just told you not to say it multiple times right before.
You could have meant a different T word.
That's true.
Plenty of French T words.
Don't you dare say Tyrannosaurus Rex.
It's not French.
Yeah. Could be. Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Tyrannosaurus. Anyway, where were we?
Yeah, I was in Quebec.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was running, it was a snowboard cross World Cup there.
Yep.
Canadian won it.
Oh.
Very Elliot nice. Grandin, yeah. He's a young guy, but he's very well accomplished in the sport.
Were there competitors from other countries?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty impressive then.
But there is a bit of a home field advantage. So because it's happening in Canada, we do somewhat design the course with elements that we know Elliot is very good at.
Okay.
Because it just, you know, it is a home field advantage. It's right. one of the perks.
Is that cool?
Yeah. I mean, the course is incredible regardless. And right. he is one of the best in the world. He's going to win it anyways.
Oh, well, then what are you babying him for?
Well, you want to see the cool stuff. Right. And this is one of the coolest on the circuit.
Okay.
Because we use Arena Snow Parks, who are one of the best snowboarders in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they do freestyle stuff mainly. So they do like slopestyle and big air and, you know, those kind of things. Like they really live in the freestyle world quite a bit.
Okay.
So when they build things like a speed course, there's a lot of freestyle elements. I'll have to show you some pictures because it was crazy. Like the first few features were like, I don't know, up to 20 feet high, just snow. And like there were these little gaps that they had to go over, looked like a castle. Yeah, it was incredible.
Cool.
Yeah, so it was a very, very cool course.
How much actual snow?
How much actual snow?
Yeah.
As opposed to?
Well, just flour and sugar. Manufactured
snow. Oh, manufactured. A lot of man-made snow.
Yeah.
It was a lot of man-made snow. Yeah. And that's been the problem.
It's kind of the way it's going.
All season it's been like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mount Sima, though. So right after Quebec, I went to Whitehorse.
Mount Sina?
Sima.
Sima.
With an M.
It's like, can you even see it?
No. Yeah. You can't Sina.
There's a wrestling joke.
Yeah, it's a wrestling. It's a, I don't know if too many people got
forget
that one.
About
yeah,
it.
It's John Cena. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. Anyway, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, went to Whitehorse, Mount Sima. Beautiful mountain. I love Whitehorse.
Is this a snowboarding thing, too?
Another snowboarding thing, yeah. This one was a para-banked slalom.
Come again?
A para-banked slalom.
Okay.
So, basically, they're banked turns. It's all time trials. It's who has the fastest time. But again, Arena Snow Parks built this one as well. There's a couple of little rollers in there. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
And it's para, so people with disabilities.
Okay. I see. Yeah.
So the categories are upper limb one, upper limb two. And there's not a whole lot of upper limb ones, I don't think.
Is that self-explanatory?
Pretty self-explanatory. And then there's like lower limb one, lower limb two. And there are parameters for it, and they kind of jump. So it's like... lower limb two would be like below the knee.
Right. Okay.
Lower limb one would be above the knee.
Okay.
But if you have like spina bifida, that would also be like lower limb one.
Hmm.
Like spinal stuff would be lower limb one.
That's very, I had no idea that there were different divisions in anything, let alone para snowboarding.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think upper limb two, right? I mean, when you're snowboarding, you would think an upper limb injury would be a far less detrimental thing.
Right.
But it actually is. Quite detrimental. That's kind of your rudder, I guess, if you will. So you don't have any sort of counterbalance.
Right.
So it was very interesting. I got to announce for that one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Maybe we'll pull up the stream. Okay. There were some moments for sure. Now, when you're doing para bank slalom, and I know a few of these athletes now. I've worked with them over a couple of years. Super, super nice. Our Canadian athlete who's an Olympic medalist. Tyler Turner, nicest guy in the world. They're honestly the most polite, wonderful people you've ever met.
Nice.
So when I'm announcing this, I don't do a lot of announcing for snowboarding. I've never done a bank slalom, which is it's like NASCAR. It's like, and a left turn, and a right turn, and a left turn, and a right turn, and a left turn.
Isn't NASCAR all left turns?
Yes, but I mean, imagine if they just going down a zigzag, you know, I mean, like in a straight line.
I can't even.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom.
Yeah. It's a tough one to call. I'm all on my own, as you know. I'm not a huge fan of it. I like a little bit of back and forth.
Right.
So I'm calling this one all on my own. And I'm actually not a very good snowboarder.
Like, really?
I can snowboard, but in the world of professional snowboarding, I am zero.
Okay.
Right? Like it's...
Fair enough. Yeah.
So luckily I've done a little bit of coaching and a bit of an understanding. So I had to really like...
But you know what you're talking about, right? Like you could...
I think so.
Yeah.
I like to think so.
Hmm.
But I don't know.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So again...
It's like us with radio. We think we know.
Yeah, we know what we're doing, but we really have no idea what we're doing. It just sometimes it sounds okay. And that's kind of where I landed with it because I couldn't just call the race because first of all, it's a time trial. There's one person on the course at one time.
Right.
And it's just a bunch of turns.
Yeah.
it's kind of hard to call. So I had to talk about...
Yeah, you can't exactly go into like the, you know, the baseball announcer thing where you start telling a story about what your dog did at the dog park the other day and, you know,
exactly.
just like not paying any attention to the actual thing that's happening on screen.
I had to meet in the middle there. So I had to kind of be like, well, this is Ben Tutto from Australia. And then I had to like get a little bit of information about him and talk about him. Also like talk about the technique, like the line that they're choosing and their hip rotation, all that stuff. Now I am a coach. Mm. I've never really coached Bank Slalom and I'm not that well seasoned of a coach. So I'm kind of making up as I'm talking about, but I'm talking about Olympic athletes here.
Right.
So I'm really like, let's just see how this goes.
Yeah.
But you're in your zone, right? It's just me and a mic for 2 hours just talking.
Yeah.
Bank Slalom.
And you just got to sound confident and sound cool. That
was kind of the goal.
I'm thinking that's all you got to do.
Get the sponsors in there.
Right.
You know, so I did that.
It's looking real good out there.
It's a beautiful day here on the hill.
He's having a great run, bros. Yeah. Great run.
Definitely got to put on that snowboard, boys. Mount Sema is just such a sick hill here today. The sun is shining. The boards are slippery.
The pow's bitching.
That's
all. I think I could call snowboarding.
I bet if we listen back to the stream, it sounds like that.
what should I search here? I want to bring the stream up. And
oh, you know what? Go to Northwest Hill's community TV channel on Facebook.
Northwest Hill.
Yeah.
Community.
Shout out Northwest Hill. They did the live stream. Oh, another thing, Parabank Slalom, and this is such a tragic thing about the sport. Well, there's a lot of tragic things, obviously, about the sport, but...
okay.
But the thing about para snowboarding is they don't really get the same resources as your able-bodied athletes.
Right.
Right? It's kind of like they just don't get the same coverage. They don't get the same, you know, experience on hill. Mm-hmm. So this was one of the first ones that they got champagne when they won.
Nice.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a standard thing in able-bodied. Like, if you're on the podium, you're getting champagne.
Right.
So we got them champagne, and they were like, oh, cool. We never get to do this. We're like, what? And so it's never filmed. Aww. So these para-athletes go, you know, around the world for this stuff.
Right.
It's a World Cup event, and it's never filmed. So Northwest Hell said, we'll do it for free. We're the community channel. So I know this is, I've been critical of Northwest Hell. We've all been critical of Northwest Hell.
Oh, yeah.
But... in this situation, they stepped up. Their crew had never done anything like this before. I worked with them quite a bit with camera locations and power and all that kind of stuff. But really, in the end, they did it all themselves, got it all figured out, and they ran a pretty tight feed.
Nice.
It was pretty impressive. They did a really good job, and the families were stoked.
No, I imagine.
Yeah, because they get to see their family, their friends. Ride,
yeah.
Which they never get to do.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to Northwest Hill.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a very cool sponsor shout out for me to be like, yeah, this is awesome what we're doing here. So
nice. Okay. I'm gonna search. We're gonna search and find the stream and get AJ's call.
We'll see if we can find the one slip up I had.
Oh, you threw that French word in there.
I didn't throw the French word.
The Mornings at the Cabin podcast.
Finishing things off for you on this Friday morning at the cabin and also for the week. Yes, another weekend is upon us. And my goodness, the mild temperatures that are ahead are, well, you know, slightly concerning, of course. But
it was a little chilly this morning.
Little chilly. I mean, yeah, it's minus 11 right now.
Okay. I was about to walk out with a very spring jacket because it was very warm in Quebec and Whitehorse.
Hmm.
And then I looked at the little thing in my house. It was minus 16. I went, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably bring like a real jacket again, you know?
We're not quite there yet, but the next few days, I think it's going up to 0 degrees today. And then like the next few days, we're having highs of like 4 or 5 degrees. That's plus 4, 5 degrees.
Nice. Oh, speaking of beautiful weather, I missed Race on the Great Lake this year.
You did? Yeah.
I was kind of bummed. I've been emceeing that for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't. Here, well, I heard the snowmobiles.
Oh, you can't not
hear them. We were across the lake. We were skiing on the Burwash Trail, and we could hear the roar of the race on the Great
sweet,
Lake.
Sweet, sweet braps.
Oh my God, we kept thinking there was like a snowmobile coming up behind us.
Oh
and
yeah,
like kept kind of like taking a look over the shoulder, like no, okay,
some
this is a snowmobile
loud.
Trail, but but yeah. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I was like, oh right, The snowmobile races. That's why there's this constant engine roar coming across the lake.
Yeah, but totally. It's pretty cool. I'm glad they're back.
Yeah.
They took a long hiatus. And Mike Frost and Hayden Frost. Oh, my goodness. I'm drawing a blank now. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. The Frost family.
Oh.
The Frost family is, they brought it back.
Ooh, good save.
Yeah, thanks. It is a family effort, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah. Right?
That's not individual. It's not isolate people.
Yeah.
And it was a hit. Like, the first year, it was very much the sled community. Mm. But I think it was so loud that people showed up on the Sunday because they're like, what is happening?
Right.
And then the next year, again, it was quite popular. People were like, there was quite a crowd. Mm. And then from the pictures I saw this year, it was a very good crowd. Very good turnout. And they did like a 4-lane heats, which is sweet.
Wow.
Because instead of just a head-to-head, you've got like a real
full-on
race. So I'm really bummed out I didn't get to MC it this year because that would have been so much fun.
And I mean, I think they've learned from the last few years where they kind of pushed the end of the season weather-wise. And the first year it was pretty dicey getting down to that that con boat launch area.
Yeah, I mean, you want the beautiful weather, obviously.
Yeah.
And you kind of want the end of the year. You know, the warm weather like densens, if that's a word, the snow. Right, because if you have that soft, hardens, that makes a lot more sense. If you have that sugary kind of dry snow that we have,
right,
it just goes under your tracks and you just spin out and it gets chewed up really quickly. So
you
kind of want like a bit of a hard pack.
Okay, well that explains why they waited so long. Didn't quite push it as much this year. Right at the end of March, and I don't know. That seems like it was a good call.
Yeah,
it
was a beautiful day. It looked like.
Yeah, I mean, we've had beautiful weather here for really like the last 2 weeks, like just other than some strong winds and stuff like that. But the highs of the day have been, like very nice. We've had like basically all sun, like 9 out of the last 10 days at least.
That's so nice for everyone's mental health.
Yeah. Oh, man. Luckily, Snowcastle survived
this
right
one
until the end this year.
That's good, yeah.
So, everything's shaping up.
You want to hear my dream?
Go ahead.
It's a bit of a new dream of mine.
Like not a dream you had last night, but like something you're aspiring to.
Yeah, something I'm aspiring to. Okay. A goal, a vision, if you will. Mm. Now that I've been working in snowboarding and kind of building, I'm not a snow builder. I'm not the one building the jumps. I work with the builder to get the desired result.
Right.
But I really love the art of building these features and stuff. So my goal, I really, really, really want to own my own snow cat. Because then I can groom Bristol Pit and actually even want to take it around the NWT. I want to groom Fort Simpsons Hill. Fort Smith has a groomer, Terry Friend. Incredible. But if for whatever reason he can't do it, I can bring it down there. So this is kind of my goal at some stage. When I have I want to be a groomer. I want to be the North's groomer, which I think is so cool. And what I want to do is on Great Slave Lake, I want to set up a skijoring track.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Right? Like, first of all, it's a big, beautiful lake. Mm-hmm. This time of year, right? Like, similar time of year when they're doing the sled races.
Yeah.
Set up this track, and you use a snowmobile, but it's got to be old school. It's got to be like a Tundra. And then we limit it, so they can only go so fast, or you just use the same sled. And then that person ties onto the back, and with skis, they got to go through the track. Have you seen, like, with the horses?
On the back of a snowmobile.
Yeah, yeah, but you've seen it with horses, right? You've seen it with the horses?
I have not.
Okay. I don't know what you should YouTube here, but YouTube horse skijoring race town.
Extreme horse sports.
Yeah, even that would work.
Okay.
And they basically hold on to a horse with a wakeboard rope, and they go through skis, and there's like jumps and features that they have to like cross in and out, and then there's like big loops that they have to grab, and like if you miss a loop, you get penalized. Like, it's so cool.
That sounds really fun. Yeah.
Seeing as we have we have an equestrian center, but I think we have a bit of a lack of horses. We have a ton of old school sleds. So I thought, what a cool thing if we did a race like that.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd get some production crews that I've worked with to come up. I've already pitched this to a couple of people, and they're like, I'm in.
I'd be a guinea pig for that.
And then we'll do a night finals.
Yeah.
We'll set up light plants. We'll do it under the Northern Lights. It's my dream.
That sounds so damn romantic.
It would be so cool. TSN, watch out.
Yeah.
We're coming.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, that was a bit of a sidebar, but that's my dream.
Hmm. Well, so I mean, you would have to come up with a snappy name for it. I don't think you could just call it snowmobile skijoring. Because, like, yeah. I thought with a dog, of course, you know, pulling the,
oh,
the person
up. Oh, that
the
would be the slowest race of all time.
That would be boring as
hell.
Yeah,
it'd be super boring. Yeah. Cute. It'd be more adorable.
Snowmajoring.
Snowmajoring, yes. I think we could, something we'll there. Workshop it.
Snowjoring.
I think we could maybe do it a bit better. Yeah. We don't need to do it now.
Skidoojering. I don't know.
Yeah, see, okay, yeah. So, I mean, I think you're getting closer.
Yeah, we'll continue working on it.
But we'll workshop it.
In the meantime, let's check in with, we were talking about earlier, AJ's play-by-play, your debut.
Oh, no.
As a play-by-play announcer for, is that the correct term, play-by-play? Because it's not plays. It's just run-by-run announcer.
Yeah, announcer. Yeah, time-by-time.
For snowmobile, God, now you got me on this,
yeah,
this
see?
Skijoring
it's
idea.
It's a contagious dream.
I can't get off of it. Snowboarding in, this was in?
Mount Sema. Yeah, it's in Whitehorse.
Right, okay.
Yeah, which is, oh, they're so lucky. What a sweet hill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a sweet hill.
It looks really nice.
It's like something you'd see in the movies. It's like that locals hill. Everyone knows each other. They do really cool stuff all the time. I love it. I would 100% go back to Mount Sema.
All right, let's check in with AJ live as of a few days ago from Mount Sema.
Make sure you go grab your tires from Cal Tire.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Straight into sponsors.
Yes.
Cal Tire.
Well done. Love that.
Yeah.
I can hear the crowd in the background.
Now, I've been announcing for a few years now, and I just don't have the voice for it. Sometimes I need a little beverage here and there. So a huge shout out to Northland Beverages. Thank you for providing food and beverages.
Nice. See where I went with that one?
Nice one.
Yeah, drinks. Yeah. I had a Gatorade this morning. I don't know if I was allowed to take it for free like that.
Oh, baby.
So if I wasn't, I apologize. But thank you anyways for supplying all these fantastic drinks and food. Huge shout out to Northland Beverages.
Oh, those are some sponsors. Happy sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like we are ready to drop in.
Oh, back into it.
Team Italy rider, Jacopo Lucchini.
Ooh.
On course.
We'll get to the names.
Nice one.
We'll get to the names here in a second.
Big pull out the gates.
What was that? Jacopo Lucchini.
Jacopo Lucchini.
And again, very we nice. Are seeing more speed from these riders. Is it experience on the course? Comfortability?
What's that carving
is it conditions?
Sound? That's satisfying.
It's cool, hey? Yeah.
Who
I
knows?
Like
but we are definitely seeing faster times. I think there has got to be an element of comfortability on this course because these riders look almost too relaxed.
What is this guy talking about?
Coming through these sections like they've been riding this course their whole lives.
Too relaxed, you say?
Too relaxed.
Yeah. That first turn coming to the
final
section.
It's like he's barely keeping it together to me. I don't know.
Tricky turn.
Jellyfish
it is tight,
out there.
Coming off those rollers with lots of speed.
That sounded good.
Jacopo with a 40.83, a solid time. From Team Italy rider, Jacopo Lucchini.
Oh, almost screwed
that
up there.
I like the way you hit that Jacopo.
Jacopo Lucchini. Well, see, this is the thing. When you're doing international competitions, the names are so outrageous. Like it's, I mean, they're not outrageous. You know, from North America, they're downright crazy.
Yeah, you're about to announce from USA.
Oh, they're such a breath of
Mike
fresh
Minor.
Air. Yeah, and like, you know, Canadian, like Tyler Turner. You know, like, you're like, oh, thank you.
Oh, it's alliteration. Yeah. It's simple.
But we've got, there's people from the Netherlands, Italy, Japan. There's no Chinese writers, I think, in this one. But you know, they're all over. So, and you look at this roster of names. And I actually sent out a survey to all the athletes beforehand. Said, can you please spell your name phonetically? And they were like, and there's a few other things. Like, oh, tell me something cool about you that I can, you know, I can bring up.
Right.
Almost none of them spelt it phonetically. A lot of them just spelt their name. My favorite, though, Great Britain rider, phonetically spells his name, Matt Hamilton.
All right, Matt.
Yeah, I know what Matt Hamilton sounds like. God. From Great Britain, you're the original English.
What a jerk. You're like, not going to win anyway. Get out of here,
Hamilton. Well, I think he did. He was pretty good.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, okay. He was pretty good. But yeah, I just thought, oh, that's, well, first of all, hilarious joke, you know. The easiest name in the entire roster, but and all the ones I really needed help on, no, nothing.
So did you like drawl out his name like that, Matt Hamilton? Coming down the course now.
Coming down the course now from Great Britain, and yeah, it was tough. I stumbled my way through the first day, and then I was able to actually talk to some of the riders and the coaches and get some corrections made.
Okay,
but it is pretty funny, right? You can almost hear them giggle.
Yeah.
There was one where I called Brenna Huckabee is up, who is a really good Team US rider.
Okay.
And it was a man
ah.
In the Stargate. Mm. And I was just close enough I could hear the start gate and everyone laughing, be like, ooh, Brenna. I'm like, oh, man. Even on the stream, you can hear me go, judging by the crowd noises, I'm going to go ahead and say that one's not Brenna.
Oh, my God. Well, it sounds like you did a great job. I'm sorry these riders are such jerks.
Don't you dare.
Giving you a rough
time.
They're the
most lovely people on earth.
No, it sounds great. Sounds like you had a wonderful time, and we're happy to have you back here at the cabin.
It's good to be back.
For what, a few weeks?
Yeah. 3 weeks, then I'm off to Australia.
For a couple weeks,
then I'm home till July.
We're happy to have you for whatever we get at this point.
Aww. You miss me? You miss me.
AJ's back at the cabin. The carpets need a vacuuming.
Thanks for listening. Check out more from the show at cabinradio.ca.